The following program is sponsored by Learn to Succeed, LLC. It's not right-wing radio. It's not left-wing radio. It's think-wing radio. Welcome to the Mike Honig Show. And now, Mike Honig.
Good afternoon and good lunch. Welcome to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on Talk 650 powered by CBS. The call-in number is 713-960-650, and you can also mail thinkwingradio@msn.com. My guest today is Harris County Democratic Party Chairman Jerry Bernberg. But first, a comment. The right wing in this country has made a lot of political hay from making fun of so-called political correctness. But what do they hate so much about it? Conservatives have used the term political correctness, or PC, to criticize liberalism, to make liberals sound like they're trying to control your speech and your thoughts, to make liberals seem foolish and unreasonable. This, of course, would be a very bad thing, if it were true. But like so much right-wing rhetoric, it's just a code phrase with no real meaning. It simply justifies hate and resentment. I think this is one area where liberals have to let the right have let the right take control of the political vocabulary without adequately fighting back. But first and foremost, let's redefine what conservatives are criticizing so much. In 2009, British political journalist Polly Toynbee wrote, quote, "The phrase political correctness was born as a coded cover for all who still want to say packy, spastic, or queer. All those who still want to pick on anyone not like them. Playground bullies who never grew up. The politically correct society is the civilized society, however much some may squirm at the more inelegant official circumlocutions designed to avoid offense," unquote. So what liberals have in mind is not political correctness, really. It's personal consideration. What is personal consideration? I think that when you get right down to it, it's about courtesy. It's about consideration for others' feelings. It's about recognizing that words cut like a knife. So if you want to understand personal consideration in its simplest terms, think of it in the context of your family. If you were at a family gathering, would you refer to your Uncle Harry as fatso? Would you refer to a niece with muscular dystrophy as that spastic girl or the cripple? Someone's Hispanic spouse as a wetback? If you had a homosexual or lesbian cousin, would you refer to them as the queer one? Or maybe you have a sister who's a militant feminist. Would you call her a feminazi? If you used any of those terms, would you say them so the referenced individuals could hear you call them those things? Would you call your family members those things to their faces? I believe the vast majority of you would not. Of course not. Now, let's look at it another way. Maybe you have a younger sister or brother. Perhaps you're a parent with a child. Maybe when they were really little, you called them by a nickname. Maybe it was Shrimp. When they're 10 or 15 years old, they come up to you one day and say, "I don't want to be called Shrimp anymore. It bothers me, and I kind of resent it. I want to be called by my real name. Please don't use the name Shrimp for me anymore, okay?" So what is your response to that? Do you say, "Sure, I understand. If that name upsets you, I'll try not to use it anymore." Or do you say, "Why should I change? I've always called you Shrimp. I don't see the harm in using the name Shrimp to describe you. I think it's cute. I'm going to keep calling you Shrimp." I think that most of us would be respectful of that child's feelings and stop using the nickname. At its core, that's the intent of so-called political correctness. It's about respect. It's about consideration. It's about personal consideration. It's the recognition that words matter, names matter. It's about not describing people in terms that they consider insulting or offensive or just inaccurate. Why is this so hard for conservatives to get their minds around? In many cases, I'm willing to allow that it's a matter of habit. They've grown up using certain words and phrases, and they find it hard or awkward to change. Because it's hard, they resent having to make the effort. Unfortunately, I think that in some cases, it's prejudice and insensitivity, plain and simple. So what is it exactly that conservatives find so abhorrent about being politically correct? Are they really angry because they want the right to be rude, the right to be mean, the right to be offensive? So the right makes fun of what they call political correctness, but in reality, Critics of PC are saying it's okay to be rude. It's okay to call people names. The right is saying it's all right to refer to people in terms they find offensive. In short, conservatives are arguing it's okay to be mean and hateful, and if people resent it, then that's their problem. I see the ideal behind PC, personal consideration, as a useful, if imperfect, solution to a very real problem. If the right has a better answer to the problem, I'm willing to hear it. In the meantime, liberals should stand up and defend the ideal. They should defend the right of people to not feel insulted. They should defend the idea of personal consideration. So the next time that someone accuses you of being politically correct, just tell them, no, I'm being personally considerate. And let's see how the conversation goes from there. That's how I feel, and you can call in and tell me how you feel by dialing 713-9650-650, or you can email thinkwingradio@msn.com. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig, and as I said earlier, my guest today is Jerry Bernberg. He's the county chair of the Harris County Democratic Party. And how are you doing today, Jerry?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
So I've been looking forward to having you on. Can you tell me a little about the Democratic Party in Houston, sort of the recent history, what you guys have been up to?
Wow. One word answer is winning. You know, in 2008, we experienced a great resurgence of Democratic Party in Harris County. Barack Obama carried Harris County and became, therefore, the first Democratic presidential candidate to carry Harris County since Lyndon Johnson in 1964. We elected 23 new Democratic judges countywide. We elected Democratic sheriff, county attorney, and district clerk. We energized, excited a base of hundreds of thousands of Democrats. And right now we're feeling pretty good about things.
Do you have any idea? Well, let's put it this way. I know what offices you would like to win, which is probably all of them. Offices you think that the Democrats have a real shot at this year?
Frankly, the answer is going to be the same, all of them. Mm-hmm. But that's not really as a smug an answer as it might sound at first blush. This is a very interesting election cycle we're going to be in Harris County, and let me explain why. In November of 2010... there will be more names on the ballot in Harris County than have ever appeared on a ballot anywhere in the United States of America in its history. Now, there's a reason for that. The reason for that is Harris County, of course, is the third largest county in the nation, and we are one of the very few places in which judges are elected. We have 71 judicial positions on the ballot this November, and they're all contested. They all will have at least two, some of them three, some of them perhaps even four candidates. The bottom line of it is there will be over 102 positions on the ballot that the average voter will have to vote for. In that environment, it will be, and I suspect that a Republican counterpart would agree with this as well, remarkably difficult for any given candidate in any given office, at least below the six statewide offices, to break out of the pack, gain any kind of traction, any kind of name recognition. So when people go to the polls, they go thinking, geez, I'm going to vote for Judge Smith versus Judge Jones in the 180th District Court. That's not feasible or possible with a ballot of this nature. So therefore, what is overwhelmingly likely to happen is that most voters are going to vote for all or the overwhelming majority of candidates of one party or the other.
Basically straight ticket with whatever exceptions they pick out.
Exactly. And as a result of that, I think that it is unlikely that you're going to see a mixed bag where you have some Democrats and some Republicans or, you know, vice versa, who are going to be elected this November.
Okay, you are listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig. My guest today is Jerry Bernberg of the Harris County Democratic Party. And if you want to call in and ask any questions, the phone number here is 713-9650-650, and we will be right back. And we are back. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig here on Talk 650 and 650houston.com. My guest is Harris County Democratic Party Chair, Jerry Bernberg. And to participate in the discussion, you can call 713-9650-650 or email thinkwingradio@msn.com. So, Jerry, what are your feelings about how the elections are being managed in Harris County specifically and Texas generally? And what are your preferences and recommendations?
Well, there are a couple of facets to that question. I think that you're probably asking about the voting machines that we
yes.
have in Harris County. All right. Remember that we got those voting machines about 10 years ago, and they have a 10-year life. By 2012, we're going to have to replace them. I think it is critically important that when we replace the voting machines in Harris County, we do so with machines that have a voter verifiable paper audit trail. The main reason for that, personally, I don't have any qualms about the integrity of the voting systems right now. Possible to have problems in the future, but up to now, I've got no qualms with them whatsoever. But there is an awful lot of public distrust, and I think that if there is public distrust, that will have a suppressive effect on people participating and voting, and that's what we do not want to happen. We want to encourage people to vote. The best way to overcome that, well, actually, there are several, but one of the most important ways to overcome that is to show people that there is a paper record of their vote, that they can see that the machines registered it the same way they cast the ballot, and that also would give us the ability to be better at auditing the results of an election in the context of a recount. So that's one thing we need, is voter verifiable paper audit trail. The second thing we need is a much more robust regime to test the machines technologically. Travis County has a gold standard of testing the programming on the machines before each election to be sure that they are properly reflecting the voters' intention. I mean, you know, the machines are complicated pieces of computer technology, and they need to be regularly checked. And there are regimes that can be applied that increase the reliability of the system. We ought to be moving to a much more robust testing regime. Those are two very important things that we do need to accomplish. But if there's anybody out there that believes that somehow or another the voting machines in Harris County are currently being manipulated, or that their votes aren't being counted or anything, I'm here to tell you that is not the case yet. We must be vigilant. We must keep our eye on the ball that is a possibility. But as of right now, I think we've got a very secure voting system in Harris County. But there are things we can do to both improve it and, more importantly, to improve public perception in the integrity of the machines.
I think the machines that have been most notorious for problems have been touchscreens. And if anybody has ever used a touchscreen going into a store to do a package pickup or something like that, usually there's a little miscalibration going on. And, of course, when you're talking about a very dense field of choices where a slight miscalibration can choose somebody else, I think the touchscreens are the worst. Harris County, they use kind of a cursor system where you turn the wheel and it chooses a particular thing, and I think that that's more reliable. But a question I would have,
but let me talk for just a second about that spinning the dial issue. The problem we're going to see, and I'm going to come back to the point I made before, in November of 2010, is you got an awful lot of dial turning to do to get through that entire ballot. If you've got to turn that dial 100 plus times and line up on the line that you wanted and not be just kind of one digit too much or one digit too little, it's going to take an average voter 5 to 10 minutes to go through that whole entire ballot, unless you choose the straight party option at the top of the ballot and do that, and maybe then go down to the referenda at the bottom of the ballot and go home. That's the biggest disadvantage I see to the spin wheel type system that we have right now.
When they have a paper trail, if you theoretically, if you were to choose one candidate, but another candidate somehow magically comes up on the vote and perhaps you don't notice it at the time, what will the paper trail reflect? Will it reflect the choice, or will it reflect the effort made to make the choice?
It will reflect what was registered on the computer. It's an immediate printout of how your vote registered on that particular voting machine. So you can look at it and say, yeah, that's how I intended to vote. And there is a paper manifestation of it. It's very similar, I suppose, to when you go to the ATM machine or or you get a credit card charge, and you get a copy of the charge, and that copy of the charge is what then appear on your statement. The same thing. You get to see what the machine registered, and that's the advantage of a voter verifiable paper audit trail.
I have a lot of respect to technology, but because I have at least a reasonable lay level of knowledge of technology, I think I'm a voting machine Luddite. I think I prefer literally a physical ballot. Now, if you want to have a punch card where maybe when you punch the card and you go to the bottom and it hits a sensor that does an automatic count, that's great. But I don't trust the machines so far as for something like voting.
Well, you and a considerable number of other people, by the way, and that's what I was stressing before, that we need to do is to find some way to improve people's sense of security that the machines have not been tampered with. And I'm suggesting to you that that has not happened yet with the voting systems in Harris County. That being said, I must tell you that in blind tests, it turns out that the electronic voting machines are far more accurate than the punch card machines. Mm-hmm. Look, I handled the recount of an election here in Harris County that was decided by 17 votes back in 1988. I mean, I knew dimpled Chads and pregnant Chads and hanging Chads, a dozen years before Bush v. Gore. It turns out...
Prescient Chads.
Yeah. It turns out that there are actually more problems with all of those other systems. And remember, that's why we went to the electronic voting machines, was because of the problems we had with the previous systems which were out there. So as long as you have public officials who you trust and you have systems that are redundant, it's a better bet that your vote is going to be counted accurately with the electronic machines than with other methods other than old-fashioned. Write your name on a paper ballot, and those have their own set of inherent problems, not the least of which is the time and cost to count them.
I guess I tend, and it's just me, but I tend to subscribe to the saying that to err is human, to really screw up, it takes a computer.
Okay, I won't dispute that.
That's personal opinion. So how have Democrats been doing in terms of organizing and the prospects for getting out the vote in November?
First off, November, of course, is a gubernatorial election year, which distinguishes it from the presidential year of 2008. That said, the Democrats have an organizational wind to our backs that is historic. And let me explain to you exactly what it is. In Harris County in 2010, the total number of votes that will likely be cast is about 600 to 650,000. I won't go into why that's so. Take my word for it. That means the must-have-to-win number for either party is somewhere between 300 and 325,000 voters. Well, the way you win elections is you find people who are likely to vote for you and your candidates and get those people to the polls. How do you know who are the people who are likely Democratic voters in Harris County? Remember, in Harris County, we do not register by party affiliation, unlike many other states and places. So there's no way to say, well, there's so many registered voters and here who they are.
That's true. You don't know until they go to the primary.
Exactly. All right. So in 2006, which was the last gubernatorial election in Harris County, the Democratic Party had 36,000 people who participated in the Democratic primary. So we knew where 36,000 Democrats were, but that was it. In 2004, the last presidential election before 2008, we had 70,000 participate in the Democratic primary. So we knew where 70,000 people were. Your must-have-to-win number was 300-325. In March of 2008, because of that extraordinary campaign between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, we had 410,000 people who participated in the Democratic primary in Harris County. That means we have the names, telephone numbers, and addresses of 410,000 people, the overwhelming majority of whom we know if we can get them to the polls, they'll vote for the Democrats. Now, that compares, for example, to 170,000 people who participated in the Republican primary. So you see, we've got a significant organizational advantage.
You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig. My guest is Harris County Democratic Party Chair Jerry Bernberg. And we're going to go to Manolo on the line. unless I accidentally hung up on him. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, I thought I'd accidentally cut you off.
You did.
What a politically incorrect thing to do.
So, Manolo, tell me, what is your question? Is it for Jerry?
Yes, it is. I'd like to ask if Mr. Berenberg's organization, the Harris County organization, is in contact with the state organization and the national organization, or vice versa, and if he knows if the strategy for the Democratic Party going into midterms and then in the presidential going to be a little bit more aggressive, simply because when you compare the strategy to the Republicans, using some really strong language whenever they attack either the president or the Democratic Party or legislative actions proposed by the Democratic Party, they just don't seem to jive. So there going to be a more of aggressive approach?
Yeah, I think he wants, and I agree, the Democrats to be more combative when Republicans say outrageous things.
Yeah, and that's fine. But let me answer his question at several levels. First of all, the Harris County Democratic Party does not coordinate its activities with either the state party or the national party. We're pretty much standalone in terms of the campaign activities. Secondly, the Harris County Democratic Party's kind of piece in the whole thing is the ground game. Our objective is to find Democrats and turn those Democrats out with the single message, vote for all the Democrats. The Harris County Democratic Party will not be expending resources trying to convince Republicans that they need to vote for the Democrats, nor even, quite honestly, independents that they need to be voting for Democrats. We know, excuse me, of lots of Democrats in Harris County. In fact, more people identify themselves as Democrats in Harris County than Republicans. What we know is that if we can just focus on those people and get that we know if we get them to the polls, they'll vote for the Democrats, and get those people to the polls, we will win. And that is the linchpin of our strategy for November 2010. There are other campaigns, such as campaigns for individual candidates, such as, for example, Bill White and Linda Chavez Thompson, and for that matter, Gordon Kwan, who will be articulating message. We will be focused on driving the ground game, and that will happen with peer-to-peer contacts, with precinct chairs and volunteers in the neighborhoods, making phone calls to their neighbors, knocking on the doors of their neighbors, meeting with their neighbors, but not just randomly. Meeting with our target group of the people that predominantly are folks who voted during 2008, and that was the first time they'd ever voted. And they voted in the Democratic primary and in the November election 2010.
So your target is those 400,000 or repeat Democrats.
Exactly. And if we can just get them to the polls, we don't have to devote a bunch of resources to the messaging part of it. Our job, and by our, I'm talking about Harris County Democratic Party. I'm not talking about the state, the national, or individual candidates. Our part is to find those people that we know are Democrats and get them to the polls, and not trying to persuade others that why Democrats are better and they should vote for the Democrats.
Well, that's very clear, Mike.
Yes.
Another question I'd like to pose is, would Mr. Berenberg's organization be involved in redistricting when it comes due?
That's an interesting question.
In all likelihood, we would be asked to testify about redistricting. Moreover, we do explain to people, look, what I said before about getting Democrats and getting them to go to the polls, we still have to convince them why it is important for them to go to the polls. And one of the most important reasons for them to go to the polls is to elect Democrats who will then be basically in charge of, not in charge of, but participating in the redistricting effort.
It is this Congress that will redistrict, yes?
The state legislature. Yeah, that's exactly correct. The 2011 state legislature will be redistricting, all redistricting throughout the state of Texas, including, see, if your viewers, listeners aren't aware of this, there will be at least three and perhaps four new congressional seats awarded to Texas as a result of the 2010 census that we've just been going through. So every 10 years, you have to have redistricting, and that occurs in the first legislative session after the end of the decennial census. So,
it'll be the
2011
the legislature after this coming election.
Those are the people we're going to be electing in this November, and that's one of the reasons it is so absolutely vital that we have a good turnout to have a good showing of and elect good Democrats, from my perspective, to participate in that process.
I think that should probably be an important part of the message getting out the vote, that it's almost more important than the presidential election in some ways.
Absolutely, because that goes for 10 years.
Yep.
That's what we're stuck with for 10
unless
years.
Unless Tom DeLay gets in there again, and then it's only 5 years.
That will go for 10 years.
That was my point, former Representative Tom DeLay.
Is there any protection against that kind of thing happening again?
The best protection against that sort of thing happening again would be to have a Democratic governor, because I guarantee if we had a Democratic governor, that plan would not have been signed into law, or to have a Democratic lieutenant governor, such as Linda Chavez Thompson, because then the Tom DeLay redistricting plan would not have passed the Texas Senate, and or to have a Democrat as the Speaker of the House of Representatives of the state of Texas, which would occur if we get just three more Democrats elected to seats in the Texas House of Representatives. Well, any of those would eliminate any possibility of a midterm redistricting.
To be fair, I mean, looking at it also from a Republican perspective, you know, the Republicans did it to the Democrats, and the Democrats screamed and yelled, and it was extremely unfair. Is there anything on the books that would stop the Democrats and future Republicans from doing the same thing?
On the books, I suppose the answer to that question is going to be no. The answer, however, is that it's all controlled. Honestly, it's controlled by that one legislative redistricting, which occurred in 1991, in 1981, will occur again in 2011, and occurred in 2001, of course. And that really sets the electability of representatives from both parties, who will then be in charge, in effect, of any efforts to modify redistricting for the next 10 years. The one other thing that is, however, out there is the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act would prohibit any state legislature from drawing lines in such a way as to diminish the voting strength of minority populations. So if the Republicans were in charge, for example, of the legislature, and, you know, their platform says they want to repeal the Voting Rights Act, but that isn't going to happen. If they redistricted in such a way as, for example, to strongly favor Anglo districts and to disfavor Latino or African-American districts, then the courts would be able to correct that. But in terms of the law, the law is that you can redistrict any time that the state legislature says you can redistrict, but you must redistrict once every 10 years, immediately after the decennial census.
I really don't want to belabor the subject, but are there states where they are limited to reapportionment every 10 years, where they can't do what Texas did?
Yes, most of them. That was one of the arguments that was made before the Supreme Court in the Texas case, was there are a lot of states that actually limit the redistricting to once every 10 years. And there's really good policy reasons for that, which is redistricting is the single most toxic activity that the state legislature engages in. It poisons the water and the atmosphere for legislators to work together to bring about positive change or positive steps, because redistricting personally involves each of the people who get to vote on it in very personal ways. It's about whether they're going to win or not win re-election. So many states, in recognition of that, have set their laws in such a way that you have to go through that process only once every 10 years.
Is Harris County going to gain any seats, according to your information?
Short answer, probably at least one. We don't know for sure where it will be, but there's another redistricting effort that goes on that could be very important in this local area, and that is that the settlement of an old lawsuit requires that we have two additional city council positions in 2011 in Harris County, in the city of Houston. So there will be local redistricting in the city council as well.
You are listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig here on Talk 650. And I also have Manolo on the phone, and if he's kind enough, he'll be able to chat with us a little bit more, and we'll be right back. And we're back. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig. My guest is Harris County Democratic Party Chair Jerry Bernberg, and I do have Manolo on the phone, I believe. Are you still there?
Yes, Mike. I, like many others, just have a comment. Didn't know how many different aspects there is to political organizations with the boots on the ground to get the vote out that you and your organization, Mr. Bernberg, focuses, and the messaging portion, and probably many, many others. But your comments have been very informative. Thank you. And, Mike, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. One of the things that we've been talking about is a lot of Democrats, while they are happy that Obama was elected, and even though statistically he's actually accomplished a lot of legislation during his first term, a lot of Democrats are disappointed in what was in that legislation. They feel like he gave away too much, too soon, that he's been too accommodating with Republicans who, frankly, did everything they could to dilute his agenda and then didn't vote for it anyway. So a lot of Democrats are really disappointed in that. And I see those as having some of them will be a problem to get to the polls. But the other thing that we were discussing on this reapportionment thing is that it's going to be the 2011 legislature that's going to do the reapportionment, along with, as you pointed out, almost half a dozen other non-legislative officials. And really, that reapportionment is almost as important, perhaps more important than the presidential election, because it will affect in many ways vote results for 10 years.
Well, you know, absolutely. That latter observation is correct, particularly in a state like Texas, which, as we know from 2008, was not a player in the presidential election, but had traditionally been a great player in Congress. We had had a great deal of influence in this state before the delay redistricting bill in 2003, which took away all of most of our senior leaders and in positions of leadership in the Congress. Texas has had a long history of very important congressional leaders. We don't need more. We need to again. And one of the ways that can happen is through the redistricting process, which will put us back on that particular track, which in many respects, as far as Texans is concerned, will be at least as important as Texas's role in the presidential election process.
Manolo, do you have any other questions for Mr. Bernberg?
No, I didn't. I'm just sitting here listening, thankful that getting so much information. I'm a newbie to the political scene in spite of the fact that I'm 67 years old and drawing Social Security, but I've been involved when Clinton was during his administration, and then really got more involved just within myself and my household when President Obama. It's been a fascinating trip for me, and I've really enjoyed it.
Well, let me make this comment, Manolo. I hope that you will continue to be involved. Check out the website of the Harris County Democratic Party, which is www.hcdp.org. Come to some of our brown bag luncheons where we talk about topics and issues, or come volunteer to do some work around the office. Or, and it might surprise you to have you for you to hear me make this pitch on the air. If you have leanings toward the Republican Party, I'm going to encourage you to go visit the Harris County Republican Party's website. Participate in their events. I think that it is absolutely critical that we get more and more people involved and not turned off by the political process, that we view the political process as a positive experience for people to have an ability to control their lives and the destinies of their families into the future. That involves all of us being involved on either party, and I encourage you to do that.
Actually, the important thing about getting the widest possible participation is that it dilutes the effect of motivated minorities. That's probably the single most important thing about getting as much turnout as possible. Otherwise, for example, light rail in this city was approved by 50% of 10% of the voters. And on that basis, billions and billions of dollars have been spent. And I have to tell you, it drives me crazy every time I go to the medical center.
And by the way, guess what? I'm not quite as altruistic as my pitch may have sounded. If people will get involved, if people will learn the issues, if people will find out the information, as the chair of the Democratic Party in Harris County, I'll take my chances.
I understand. Do you want to talk a little? I know you have some knowledge about the Democratic Party platform, state platform versus the Republican Party platform. Do you want to do a little side by side for us?
I'll be glad to do so. First of all, let me say that the party platforms are really the 33, 34, 35 page.
I saw that.
You know, the documents, that was a nice way
to phrase it. That's one thing they have in common is a lot of pages.
They certainly do kill a lot of trees for those things. But as a result of that, it's impossible to talk about many of the topics in one short, non-boring segment. Let me say, however, that from the day after the Republicans adopted their platform last month, I posted their platform on the website of the Harris County Democratic Party. And, of course, as soon as the Democratic Party passed its platform in Corpus Christi last month, I posted it on the website. So if you want to find out, I wanted people to learn what the Republicans stand for. I want people to understand what their principles are. If you want to find them out one by one, side by side, go to the website, hcdp.org of the Harris County Democratic Party, and we've got them both there under resources for you.
I'm going to admit to bias here, but one of the things that struck me about the Republican platform, we're against this, we're against this, we're against this, we're against this. You go to the Democratic Party platform, we're for this, we're for this, we're for this. The Republican platform is just really an exercise in negativity. It's stuff they don't like. It's stuff that makes them angry. It's stuff that annoys them. I mean, it's just stuff they're against. It's all stuff they're against.
Certainly you're not going to find disagreement from me in that assessment of it. But the Democratic Party focuses on issues such as education. And in education, I'll give you one example off the top of my head. In education, we think the dropout problem is a problem which needs to be addressed. And we have specific ways to address the dropout problem. The Republicans say absolutely nothing about the dropout problem. One thing they do say, they want to abolish daytime curfew laws, which are there to make sure that we don't have truancy, that kids who are out on the streets are taken back to school. So take a look at the entire platform of both of the parties, and I think you're going to find the Democrats are the ones with actual ideas about what to do about all of these kinds of issues which are plaguing society.
One thing that I'm going to mention that we talked about off air, the Republican Party actually calls for the repeal of a piece of legislation from 1977 that calls for a constitutional convention. They want to repeal that. I agree with them. So, you see, sometimes you can find common ground. You have been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig. My guest has been Jerry Bernberg, Harris County Democratic Party Chair. And next week, I'm going to have Terry Burke of the Texas ACLU talking about their annual conference and issues they're working on. I'll see you here next Monday at noon. Remember, slower traffic, keep right. It's not just a good idea. It's the law. You've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig here on Talk 650. Bye-bye.